I'm on my way to Israel and asking for your prayer.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey friends, Michael Brown here. We are audio only today. So again, those used to watching the Line of Fire live stream, you can listen as always. And as you're listening to this show, I am en route to Israel. Next time you hear my voice, we should be broadcasting from Israel. Really looking forward to special shows that we'll be preparing there in Israel in the coming days. This is a long overseas trip for me. I've been overseas probably over 160 times now. So it's something that's always special to me, as many times as I've done it. But for some years now, most of my overseas trips are fairly short. Israel can be a little longer, and this one, we've got several days in Jerusalem and then several days in Bethlehem. And I can't tell you a lot about what's happening the first few days. The Bethlehem conference we've talked to you about, we'll talk to you more about that. But I want to take today's show and talk to you about the importance of praying for leaders and those in the front lines of ministry. And I've got to be very candid. It was many, many years before I was willing to teach or preach on this, feeling as if it drew unneeded attention to me or unneeded attention to leaders, as if it was about us. And God really had to help me to understand it's quite the opposite, that we're asking for prayer for the success of the mission to others. In other words, the prayer is for us, but it's for us so that we can serve others. I always knew that, but I had to take hold of that more deeply. So every so often, and it's been quite a few years now, I've opened up some key scriptures and talked to you about the call to pray, the importance of it. And whatever local congregation you're in, this applies. Whatever ministries you support, this applies. Whatever is going on in terms of your own family, young people listening, praying for your moms and dads, parents praying for your kids. The principles we'll be talking about today are universal in their application. But specifically, I want to talk to you about the importance of praying for leaders. 1 Thessalonians 5:25, Paul's words, brothers, meaning brothers and sisters, pray for us. Brothers and sisters, pray for us. Listen to what Charles Spurgeon said about this. This one morning in the year, we reserved to refresh the reader's memory upon the subject of prayer for ministers, and we do most earnestly implore every Christian household to grant the fervent request of the text first uttered by an apostle and now repeated by us. Brethren, our work is solemnly momentous, involving weal or woe to thousands. We treat with souls for God on eternal business, and our word is either a savor of life unto life or of death unto death. A very heavy responsibility rests upon us, and it will be no small mercy if at the least we be found clear of the blood of all men. As officers in Christ's army, we are the especial mark of the enmity of men and devils. They watch for our halting and labor to take us by the heels. Our sacred calling involves us in temptations from which you are exempt. Above all, it too often draws us away from our personal enjoyment of truth into a ministerial and official consideration of it. We meet with many knotty cases, and our wits are at a nonplus. We observe very sad backslidings, and our hearts are wounded. We see millions perishing, and our spirits sink. We wish to profit you by our preaching. We desire to be blessed to your children. We long to be useful both to saints and sinners. Therefore, dear friends, intercede for us with our God. Miserable men are we if we miss the aid of your prayers, but happy are we if we live in your supplications. You do not look to us, but to our Master for spiritual blessings, and yet how many times has he given those blessings through his ministers? Ask then, again and again, that we may be the earthen vessels into which the Lord may put the treasure of the gospel. We, the whole company of missionaries, ministers, city missionaries, and students, do, in the name of Jesus, beseech you, brethren, pray for us. Those were the words of Charles Spurgeon on 1 Thessalonians 5:25. And think of this. Paul, on a number of occasions, asked for prayer. The mighty Apostle Paul asked for prayer in a number of his letters. He knew the importance of his mission. He knew that if he could not get the gospel to certain places, no one would hear the message. He knew if he was not graced with the authority of God in what he was doing, that the mission would not succeed, and therefore lives were dependent on it. So he was asking for prayer for the good of others. And if Paul needed prayer, how much more do I need prayer? How much more does your pastor need prayer? And look at this, Romans chapter 15, beginning in verse 30. Now I urge you, brethren, through our Lord Jesus the Messiah, and through the love of the Spirit, to press on together with me with prayers to God on my behalf. Join in my struggle with me by praying to God for me. Pray that I might be rescued from the unbelieving Judeans, and that my service for Jerusalem might be acceptable to the saints. So he's asking for them to join in his struggle. No, they're not going to be beaten the way Paul was beaten. They're not going to be stoned the way Paul was stoned. They're not going to face some of the threats that Paul faced, some of the difficulties that he faced. But for sure, they could join in the battle by praying for him. And he's also asking for prayer that he might be rescued from the unbelieving Judeans. Now here's a question. If everything just happens automatically, why pray? If everything's just going to happen the way it's going to happen either way, why bother to pray? Just say, hey, I trust my fate to God, and what will be, will be. No, he knew that prayer made a difference. And that's why in 2 Corinthians, the first chapter, he talks about how he was helped by the prayers of the Corinthians, how he and his team felt the sentence of death on them. They thought, we're not getting out of this one alive. We're going to die here in Asia. And yet, what happened? Through the prayers of God's people, he was delivered. He relies on the efficacy of their prayers in Philippi, where he's writing to the Philippians from a dungeon in Rome, imprisoned in Rome, and he believes that he will be helped to continue in his ministry and mission by their prayers. I have no question that many key things in my life have happened as a result of God's people praying for me. Of course, that's how I got saved. People prayed for me, and the Holy Spirit convicted me, and God wonderfully saved me. But there are key things in my life that have happened that I'm sure happened because people prayed for me. There were times when I just felt the pressure was too intense, and people praying for me brought about a difference. And I even believe this, so I'm asking for prayer, and then I'm also encouraging you to pray for your leaders. And I want to get back to the power of prayer versus criticism in a moment. But my life is pretty intense. I think you would agree that we're really on the front lines of the battle with the ministry we're doing. We're confronting some of the greatest strongholds of the age. We're confronting some of the greatest strongholds of history. We're on the front lines of vying for the salvation of the lost sheep of the house of Israel. We're on the front lines of world missions, sending out laborers to the nations. We're on the front lines of praying for revival in the church. We're on the front lines of standing against social and cultural madness in America. We really are on the front lines in many ways. And by the hour, I have people attacking me and slandering me and libeling me and cursing me and speaking evil against me. And then we have the pressure of running the ministry and the pressure of finances to pay the bills and things like that and all the deadlines we constantly have and constant travel. There's a lot of pressure. And yet my life is a blessed life. My life is a life that, yeah, I know the pressure and I know the tension and I know the challenges, but I am not under constant torment. I am not beaten down all the time. In fact, there have been numerous seasons in my life in God where the spiritual attack on me was worse then than it is now. In other words, what I'm experiencing, what I'm experiencing, an ongoing spiritual attack, it was worse years ago than what I've experienced for some years now. I truly believe a lot of that is because many of you pray for me regularly, and some of you are really prayer warriors for me. And as you're holding up my hands, you're enabling us to touch so many people. Your prayers make a massive difference. Now think of this. You're in a church setting. You're in a situation that's really difficult. Things are not going the way you like. You're wondering, can you stay in this ministry? Can you stay in this church? You'd like to, but things are bad. It's very easy to begin to get a negative attitude, to begin to gossip. It's very easy to begin to speak evil of people. It's very easy to get into kind of a pity party mentality. And that does no good at all. It brings you down. It brings others down. It makes a bad situation look and feel even worse. Am I telling the truth? Right? But what happens instead if you say, all right, look, we don't know what's going to work out long term. We don't know what's going to happen long term. We really can't say for sure. But this much we do know. If we pray, we're doing the right thing. And maybe God will turn the tide. And maybe some of the problem is in your heart, and it's not so much the leader. Maybe you've taken offense at something. And the more you pray for them, the Lord will start to deal with your heart with a fresh love. Or the more you pray for them, the Lord may begin to work something out in their own life that's wrong. So you don't pray negative prayers. Lord, show someone what a wretch they are and how bad they are. I try to pray prayers that if the person was in the room with me, they would see I'm praying good prayers. Lord, you know Pastor so-and-so. You know the weight that he carries and the burden that's on him. Lord, I pray you'll bless him. I pray you refresh him. I pray you pour out your spirit on him anew. I pray you encourage him. I pray you draw him near to you with a fresh love and a fresh desire. You know, whatever it is, wherever you see the lack, pray for the positive. Brothers and sisters, Paul wrote, pray for us. I want to give you some striking examples to answers to prayer for leaders, answers to prayer for me. Again, I'm indebted to your prayers. Thank you for standing with me. And right now, would you pray? I'm traveling with Matt, my producer, and Robin, my sister-in-law, over to Israel. Even as you're listening, would you pray blessing on our trip and the favor of heaven on everything we do in the times that we're there? Brothers and sisters, pray for us. We'll be right back.
God of light, hear our cry. Send the fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire. Michael Brown here. I'm not taking your phone calls, because as you are listening to me, if you're listening live on Tuesday afternoon, I am en route to Israel, and we start off in Jerusalem, got a few days there. It's nothing to do with the government, by the way, when I say I can't talk about things publicly, nothing to do with the government. I don't have some secret meetings with the prime minister. I'm not connected with any of the government leaders or anything like that. But just doing some things behind the scenes that really, really need prayer for God's grace and divine appointments. And then going over to Bethlehem to speak at the Christ at the Checkpoint Conference. The Christian organizers there could not be more Christian towards me in terms of opening a door and reaching out and making plain they want me there to challenge them, and they want to challenge me. And we have profound differences. Again, I have Messianic Jewish friends in Israel say, Mike, don't do this, because by going, you're validating the conference. No, I'm going as a voice of dissent. And if, in fact, the conference ends up being Jesus glorifying, and if, in fact, there's a shift and there is a balance that I believe is not there, wonderful, praise God. And if not, then I'm there as a witness to shout that out to the world. But I want to do my best. I want to do my best to sit with Christians in Bethlehem and let them share their hearts with me and share their perspective. And I want to do my best to share openly and honestly with them in the love of God. But how can I say this? the dynamics of the conference, the setting, the message that God's given me to bring, it really needs prayer. It really needs grace. And I'm not going in there with the goal of being a bull in a china shop. I'm going there to be a peacemaker, not a troublemaker. But the message the Lord has laid on my heart is a really serious message, one that is going to be very intense to bring and perhaps more intense for people to hear. So I do covet your prayers on these days together in Israel. And as you're praying, again, for my team, Matt, our producer here at the Line of Fire, and my sister-in-law, Robin, who in fact was a key. Nancy and I led her to the Lord many years ago, but then she was a key in praying for the fire of God to come back to my life at a time when I was getting intellectually and theologically proud in the early 1980s. So prayer does make a big difference, and that's what I'm talking about on the broadcast today. Paul's call for prayer and my appeal to you to pray. Let's take a look in Ephesians chapter 6. And there, Paul wrote, as he comes to the end of his masterful letter to the Ephesians, he says this, verse 18, pray at all times in the Spirit with every prayer and request, and stay alert with all perseverance and intercession for all the saints. So this is how they should pray for themselves and how they should live. Then, verse 19, pray also for me, that the message may be given to me when I open my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. For this I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I might be bold enough to speak about it as I should. Can I share with you with absolute candor? If Paul needed prayer for boldness, I need prayer for boldness. Other leaders need prayer for boldness. Yes, by nature, I can be kind of a confident, bold person, and by nature, willing to run into challenging situations, and by nature, willing to confront. But when you're talking about spiritual strongholds, when you're talking about spiritual battles, when you're talking about demonic opposition, when you're talking about something that may not, maybe cost you your life, but what if it could cost other people their lives? It requires a certain holy boldness, a certain grace, a certain anointing. So I'm asking for that same prayer that Paul asked for, and I do covet that from you. Let me give you a few principles about this. Number one, leaders have a special responsibility before God and man. We'll be judged more strictly, and more is expected from us. Too much is given, much is required. Remember James, Jacob, chapter 3, verse 1, where he says, not many of you should be teachers because teachers will have the more strict judgment. And then, secondly, the successes and failures of leaders have a ripple effect on many lives. If we're thriving, others will thrive. If we fail, others will be hurt. Look, you take a well-known TV preacher, and that person is involved in a major scandal, it makes the gospel look so bad to so many people. So think of this for a minute, all right? Think of this. You're the devil. You're strategic. You're trying to bring the maximum damage to God's kingdom. You're trying to bring about the maximum damage to the gospel and hurt the Lord the best way you can. That's what you do if you're the devil, all right? Now think of this. Here's a local businessman, a Christian man in a small town, and he messes up. He's involved in a financial scandal or a sexual scandal. Well, it's terrible. It's terrible for him. It's terrible for his family. It's terrible for his home church. It's terrible for the reputation of the gospel. But, you know, a handful of people know him. It's a small town. It's a small business. And he wasn't, not the whole nation, they didn't know his name, etc. Now you've got a national minister of the gospel, someone whose name is well known to tens of millions of people, and they're associated with Jesus, and they take a serious fall. The enemy is able to trip them up. Now, no one can say the devil made me do it, right? We're responsible for our own actions. But Satan's out to destroy. If he can destroy that life, if he can mess up that person's testimony, he's now made the gospel look bad before millions and millions and millions of people. So we need more prayer, because the attack that comes against us can be more ferocious, and the consequences of our success or failure more momentous. Does that make sense to you? We are three. So first, leaders have a special responsibility before God and man. Two, the successes and failures of leaders have a ripple effect on many lives. Three, we are uniquely targets of the devil, since he knows that if he can get to us, he can get to you, thereby hindering or even temporarily thwarting God's work, ultimately bringing reproach on the name of Jesus. And four, we face unique attacks and pressures, since we not only carry the burdens of our own lives, but also the burdens of the flock and the world. Again, this is some of what Spurgeon shared in his devotional on 1 Thessalonians 5:25, where Paul asked for prayer. So again, just think of it like this. Think of it that it's a sporting event, all right? And you are going to be finishing off the race, and your team is behind. And you're only going to get the gold medal if you run the race of your life. You say, right, pray for me. You know, we're behind. Pray for me. Then when I get that baton, I can run like I've never run before, because the success of the whole team depends on it. Or now let's look at it in a different way. You're the star of your team. It's the end of the last game, the seventh game of a seven-game series. And all the pressure is being put on you. The other team is double-teaming you and triple-teaming you to stop you from being effective, because if you're not effective, your team loses, right? It's all about the team. It's all about the larger calling. That's what I'm talking about spiritually. But you know, as an athlete, pray for me, because I got extra pressure on me. I'm targeted. Do you think that the hostile media primarily goes after an obscure candidate running in a little county with 600 votes? Or does the hostile media, whichever side it's on, left or right, go after the lead candidate of the party? So there's more pressure that comes on them, and there are greater consequences. If Barack Obama failed or succeeded, if Donald Trump failed or succeeded, the consequences of that were millions of times greater than if a local school board member voted correctly or not. Oh, that vote's important. I'm not downplaying that, but I'm just talking about consequences and ripple effects. And who's under more pressure right now? That local school board member or the president of the United States? Or that local school board member or a justice on the Supreme Court? You hear what I'm saying? The pressures are naturally greater. Well, look at it the same way in the Spirit. And as Paul wrote in Romans 15, verses 30 to 32 that I read earlier, you can join in our struggle by praying for us. So the fifth point in this appeal for prayer, as I'm on my way literally to Jerusalem, to Tel Aviv, flying to Tel Aviv, and then Jerusalem, and then Bethlehem, my appeal to you: join in our struggle by praying for us. Peter made it, Luke 22, verses 31 to 32, because Jesus prayed for him. And then Acts 12, 1 through 18, Peter was freed from prison and certain death because the church prayed. Prayers make a massive difference. So thank you for standing with us. And hey, let me just mention this to you. Can you join us on our next trip to Israel or tour in February, February 1st through 10th? Scott Volk will be there. We'll be having special meetings at night, so we're calling it Holy Fire in the Holy Land. We've got a great tour guide leader, then Scott Volk with you every step of the way. Then I'm with you at certain key locations for teaching, but then every night I'm with you. We're together every single night for special prayer meetings, for teaching, for worship times, for preaching, for answering your questions, for doing the radio show together. So go to my website now, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. AskDrBrown.org. Click on the Israel banner on the homepage. February will be here before we know it. Time to get your deposit in now. And it will be awesome to join you in Israel in early 2019. Okay, much more to come. Stay with us. We'll be right back on the other side of the break.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome to The Line of Fire. This is Michael Brown. Those used to watching on YouTube or Facebook, only an audio feed. You'll be getting audio feeds the next few days. Right now, I am on my way to Israel. And then, God willing, the rest of the week, and then the week following, I'll be broadcasting from Israel. We're starting in Jerusalem with some behind-the-scenes work, and then going from there to Bethlehem, and in Bethlehem participating in a very controversial conference, Christ at the Checkpoint, which is very strongly Palestinian to the point of being, you might say, anti-Israel or anti-Zionist. And as you know, I've been invited as a dissenting voice in the midst of the conference, but among brothers and sisters in the Lord, and that's how we want to present things. So I covered your prayers, and I'm taking some time today to talk about the importance of praying for leaders. And Paul, on quite a few occasions, asked for prayer or talked about how prayer made a massive difference on his behalf. Look at this. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. He says this beginning in verse 8. We don't want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, of our affliction that took place in Asia. We were completely overwhelmed beyond our strength, so that we even despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. So he's saying we got to this point of utter hopelessness. And friends, it happens. This is something that God often does in our lives, allows us to go through a severe trial, or points us in a direction that will bring us through this severe trial, so that as a result of that, we will lose all hope in ourselves, all hope in our own ability to do anything, to accomplish anything. And out of that, there's a profound, deeper trust in God who raises the dead. And he says he has delivered us from such a terrible death, and he will deliver us. We have put our hope in him that he will deliver us again, while you join us in helping us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gift that came to us through the prayers of many. Over the years, there have been times when I got tremendously burdened to pray for someone, only to find out that they were going through a severe crisis. There have been times that people got tremendously burdened to pray for me, and it was when I was going through a real attack. I remember just one small example. It was a midweek service at my home congregation on Long Island, and Nancy had gone to the service, and I stayed back, and I just was under severe spiritual attack at that moment. For me, I don't mean I was about to die or that stones were being thrown at me or I was about to be lynched or something like that, but it was just this real oppression that I got hit with. And the pastor said, we need to pray for Mike tonight. And suddenly, you know, things changed. Things lifted off of me. Prayer made a difference. Never question when you feel a burden to pray. Don't overanalyze it. If you suddenly feel a burden to pray for someone and you don't know why, don't overanalyze it. Don't think to yourself, well, I don't, maybe it doesn't, well, it doesn't make sense, or back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. Just go with it. How can it hurt to pray for the person? How can it hurt to stop what you're doing for a moment, or in the midst of what you're doing, if you're driving or something like that, pray, oh God, help this one, help that one. And if you don't know how to pray, Lord, give me the words. Or if you pray in tongues, ask him to lead you in prayer, because your prayers can really make a difference. Now look, I know there are different perspectives between Calvinists and Arminians, and that Calvinists would say, well, God has ordained what he's going to do, but he's ordained that I pray as a means to accomplish that. Then someone says, well, what if you don't pray? Will it not happen? But rather than get into that debate, let's all agree that we believe in the power of prayer. Let's all agree with that, that we believe that prayer is important. And I truly believe that prayer changes things, that if we do pray, we will see certain outcomes, and if we don't pray, we won't see certain outcomes. You say, well, what about what God ordained? God ordained it like that. God ordained it that if we pray, certain things will happen. If we don't pray, certain things won't happen. So let me again lay this out point by point. One, leaders have a special responsibility before God and man. Therefore, we specially need prayer. Two, the successes and failures of leaders have a ripple effect on many lives. So it's important to pray for us. Three, we are uniquely targets of the devil, since he knows if he can get to us, he can get to you, thereby hindering or even temporarily thwarting God's work, ultimately bringing reproach on the name of Jesus. Four, we face unique attacks and pressures, since we not only carry the burdens of our own lives, but also the burdens of the flock and the world. And then five, you can join us in our struggle by praying for us. And there's a comment in the Expositor's Bible Commentary to 1 Thessalonians 5:25 where Paul said, brothers and sisters, pray for us. And it simply says this, Paul depended on his converts' spiritual support. And number six, it is not selfish for leaders to ask for prayer. It's a confession of our own frailty. It's a recognition of the need for the support of the whole body. And although leadership requests for prayer can at times be motivated by pride and a sense of self-importance, it is certainly prideful for any of us to think that we don't need prayer. So I know I've been given a mission by God. And I know that this mission touches many lives. I know that we literally touch millions of people through the radio broadcast, through our social media, through writing, through TV, through other means, through our TV broadcasts online, and through books and things like that, through preaching, through our grads that have been raised up and sent out from our school. And all the more then do I covet your prayer that I'll be closer to the Lord, that I'll hear his voice more clearly, that I'll be more devoted to him in private, that I'll walk with him with greater zeal and passion, that Jesus would be manifest to me more and more, that I'd have his marching orders, that I'd not waste your time or mine by side things that are not important, but that I'd give myself to the main things. That's my heart. That's my burden. That's my prayer. And it's for your good. It's for the glory of God. It's not pray that my ministry will thrive because it's so important. No, pray that we'll thrive so we can be a blessing to you. Pray that we'll thrive so we can reach Jewish people that don't know the Lord. Why am I asking for prayer in Israel? Am I asking for prayer that I'll find the best restaurant? Pray for me that I'll find the best restaurants in Israel. Pray for me that we'll find the best five-star hotel that has the best vacation. No, the prayer is that we'll be successful in our mission. That if we meet Jewish people in different settings that don't know the Lord, that we'll have grace to share the gospel. As we're with believers, everyone in Israel and near Jerusalem just was asked a couple days ago to speak Wednesday night at Christ Church in Jerusalem. Christ Church in Jerusalem, a famous historic church, always a great atmosphere there and people there from around the world. So if you're near Jerusalem, we'll be posting this. Be sure to join me Wednesday night at Christ Church. Can't wait to see you there. But we're asking for prayer. For example, pray for us to have financial provision. Why? So that we can reach more people. Hey, God has supplied the funds for our airtime for one entire year in New York City, starting next month, starting in June, a Jewish outreach broadcast called The Real Messiah. Yes, Wednesday nights, 9 to 10, 570 a.m., WMCA. Everyone in the New York area, yes, we're finally back on the air in New York City. But here, specifically doing Jewish outreach. We have prayed for that for years. Nancy kept telling me, you've got to get back on the air in New York, but you've got to go specifically for Jewish outreach. And we leaned into it, and God breathed on it, and the funds have been supplied in advance. Trust me, every month we have to believe God for funds to pay our ongoing radio bills and our ongoing outreach bills. But here it was paid for in advance. Now, we've got to pray in more funds, though, because we want to pour a ton more time and effort in developing more resources for our Real Messiah website so that Jewish people can go there and meet the Real Messiah. and bring on more staff that can help in our outreach to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But friends, prayers make a difference. We're not praying for our personal prosperity. Pray for me that I'll make more money to buy a nicer car. No. Pray for me that we can be wise and frugal with the funds that come in and use them to reach more people. We ask for prayer for our school so that we can have the biggest and nicest buildings. That's not going to happen. You're never going to come to Fire School of Ministry because we've got the finest facilities in the state. You're never going to come to Fire School of Ministry because we've got the best Olympic swimming pool in the state, and the best athletic training program, and the top football program, and the top basketball program. God bless the schools that are called to do that, and God bless the Liberty Universities and these massive schools that are Christian and the great campuses. And you're coming to Fire so that you can be grounded in the Word, grounded in the love of God, grounded in a heart to serve God, grounded in the call to go out and give your life for the gospel. You're coming to be trained, to be sent out to give your life for a dying world. But we need to pray in more laborers, and we need to pray in more finances. We're not praying for our success. We're praying for the success of the mission. So we deeply covet your prayers. Number 7, prayer and intercession help put a shield of protection around us. Your prayers may be the key to weakening a fierce attack or revealing an ambush. Yeah, I remember one of my dear friends back in the 70s and 80s. He was a real man of prayer. And he came over to my house one day. He and his wife were hanging out with Nancy and me. I've shared this before, but I don't think I've shared this story in years. And we had some time. He said, "Why don't we pray together?" Nancy and his wife were up in another part of the house. So we started to pray, and something happened to him, and he looked like he'd just seen a ghost. I mean, he was flushed, and I said, "What happened?" He said, "Man, there's a heavy attack coming against one of us. I mean, a real heavy demonic attack, real severe." So we're talking to Nancy and his wife about it, and she said, "Well, who's it coming against?" He said, "It's coming against Mike." I just kind of poo-pooed it, didn't take it seriously. You better believe we had one of the most severe attacks of our lives that came after that, but his faithful prayer and the prayer of others helped deflect the intensity of it. Oh, a flaming arrow from the enemy came, but with the help of the prayer of others, it was deflected. You have no idea how much difference your prayers make. So I'm asking you, pray for us. Pray during this time in Israel. Pray for me, for my producer Matt, my sister-in-law Robin. Pray for the purposes of God to be fulfilled. Glory.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Friends, we are talking about the importance of praying for leaders today. This is Michael Brown. Can't take your calls today because as you are listening to today's broadcast, I am en route to Israel. So I just felt it would be a good time to call for prayer, but apply this to your own leaders. Apply this to others in ministry on the front lines. And I want to encourage you with a simple image. You know, it's pouring rain and somebody pulls out an umbrella and they hold the umbrella for you and you walk to your destination, and instead of getting soaked head to foot and your hair looking like you just got out of the shower, you're good. Someone else had an umbrella. Your prayers are like an umbrella over us in a rainstorm. Yeah, and even more. Your prayers help hold our hands up. Exodus 17, Aaron and Hur held up the prayer, the hands of Moses, and as his hands were held up, Joshua won the battle. Your prayers help cover our families. Your prayers inspire us to greater service, greater devotion, greater purity. And I've been going through a list of notes I had on a message I've taught on this that I haven't taught on in years and years and thought it would be appropriate. This is actually point number 8. Very personal. Can I be personal with you? Pray for me. I'm uniquely called by God to be a human battering ram, breaking down resistance with my own life and serving as a lightning rod for attack and controversy. So we're taking on LGBT activism. We're taking on pro-abortion activism. We're taking on the spirit of radical Islam. We're taking on counter-missionary ultra-Orthodox Jews with all of their arguments and their brilliance. We're taking on complacency and backsliding and compromising the church. And there are a lot of spiritual battles. And I'm made for this. But if you think of me as an arrow and think of yourselves as the bow, yes, think of it like that. I'm the arrow, you're the bow. So it's teamwork. It's total teamwork. And as you pull that bow back, that arrow will go further. And that arrow will pierce through more opposition. Friends, it's a joint work. Everybody has their call. Look, there are other ministries. My main contribution to their ministry is to pray for them. There are other folks, I support them with some money, but the main thing I do is pray for them. And that's the greatest role that I have, is to pray for them. Friends of mine that knew the Lord years ago and backslid, the greatest thing I can do is pray for them. So yes, we appreciate your financial support. It makes a massive difference. But your prayers carry us to places. Your prayers open doors. Your prayers make things happen that wouldn't happen. Divine appointments. So in my frailty, in my humanity, I'm asking for your prayer to be more devoted to the Lord, to have greater wisdom. And can I ask for prayer for Nancy? I find that many, many times the spouses of leaders are often neglected in prayer, and they come under more severe attack. And again, look at some relevant scripture here. I've quoted from Romans 15, from 2 Corinthians 1, from Ephesians 6. I've referenced Philippians, the first chapter, but let me read it to you now. Philippians chapter 1. Remember, Paul's in prison. He's in Rome. He doesn't know if he's going to live or die. But he says this, in terms of staying in the body, which is going to be more fruitful. He said, I know this will lead to my salvation or deliverance through your prayers and help from the Spirit of Jesus the Messiah. So Paul was confident that the prayers of the saints would lead to his deliverance. Colossians chapter 4 is another time that he asked for prayer. He was unashamed in doing this. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, devote yourselves to prayer, stay alert in it with thanksgiving. Verse 3, at the same time, pray also for us, that God may open a door for us for the word, to speak the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains, so that I may make it known as I should. You know, it's easy to stand back and to criticize a leader. Why that person compromise? Why that person back down there? Why didn't they stand more boldly? Why this, why that? A lot of times you don't know the pressure they're under. You ever seen some drama and there's some show where somebody does what the enemy wants them to do and you find out that their child was taken hostage or their spouse was taken hostage, and unless they did this, the person was going to die? You don't know the kind of pressures that come against leaders and the kind of situations that they often face. And here, look, you know me. I'm going to lay it out. There's no excuse for compromising for finances. In other words, if I speak the truth, I'm going to lose support. If I speak the truth, I'm going to lose this big donor. If I do the right thing and honor God, then this tithing member is going to leave my church. You know me. I have no sympathy for that. You do what's right. You do what's right and you trust God. And if you lose the donor, if you lose the building, whatever, you've got to honor God. There are no two ways about it. Black and white. On the one hand, black and white. But what if it's not so black and white in terms of the consequences? In other words, well, what if I just don't speak up as loudly about abortion? Then this new program that we just launched overseas, this feeding program, we've got a rich donor, but this rich donor has told me just don't stop talking about abortion, but just tone it down a little, tone it down a little. And he's a big donor, and through his donations, we are feeding thousands of starving children in a nation hit by drought. So I'm going to say, no, I'm not going to compromise. I'm going to keep speaking out. I offend the guy, and now thousands of children die as a result of it. In other words, sometimes you really need the mind of God. Sometimes it's not so black and white and easy as we make it out to be. So, friends, that's another reason that we need prayer. You've got pressure coming from this direction on your pastor. People want him to preach on this. Others want him to preach on this. Others feel this emphasis is important. Others feel that emphasis is important. And they get hit from every angle. Pray that they'll hear from God. Pray for your pastors that they'll be men of God, that they'll really be meeting with the Lord. Pray for spouses of pastors that they'll be in harmony together, that they'll be thriving in God, that they'll lead the flock in the way that God wants, that they'll be effective in outreach, that other leaders and support will be raised up. You say, hey, I know finances are important, but I don't have much to give. Pray for supplies. Pray for giving to be released. I remember there was a business that supported us regularly for years. And sadly, this business has come under severe satanic attack that cost them literally tens of millions of dollars and almost bankrupted the business leader personally. But he gave millions of dollars to the work of the gospel around the world. And some of that came to our school and to our missionaries and even helped us do outreach on the radio and things like that. He came under severe attack, and I can't mention names or anything, but if you would just pray, and I'll get to my story in a moment, if you would say, Lord, bless him, bless the work of his hands, and bless him and his wife. Lord, you know who this is. Bless him and refresh him and strengthen him. He's come under a really severe attack, and from what I understand, he refused to cooperate with a corrupt push that came against him, and it's cost him severely. In any case, there was a time as the business was growing that they used to send $8,000 a month to our school. Now, it got to a point when it was actually much more than that and helped underwrite so much of what we did and helped us send missionaries around the world. He was a phenomenal gift to the work, but it was quite substantial when he was sending $8,000 a month. And for 6 months, we didn't get any money. 8,000 and change, we didn't get any money for 6 months. And we were in a real crisis where we needed $50,000. Basically, the money they were giving for 6 months, we weren't getting it. And we were in a tremendous crunch. We were having to meet with faculty, and we weren't getting paid, and meet with staff and say, okay, if we can't pay you, come and stay at our home. You know, and they said, hey, we're in this for the long haul. We get paid or not, we don't care. We're working. It was a real crunch time, bills that had to be paid. So we called for a day of prayer and fasting with the students. We didn't tell them anything was going on. We didn't alert them to any of the problems, and at a certain point, we worshiped the Lord, we prayed for lots of different things, and then at a certain point, I led the school in praying for a financial miracle, and God knew, our team was agreeing privately, for $50,000, we needed it the next day. Well, the next day, we get a check for just about $50,000 from this business, and he had a note. He said, in prayer, I just had this sense, I kind of got this sense, like a whisper from the Lord, that you guys needed the money. We didn't know that you needed it, so we were just putting it into an account to hold there in case you needed it, but we just had a sense that you needed it. So, I mean, here we are. Oh, God, we're crying out. We're fasting. We're praying. Oh, God. And there the money comes. And listen, there have been times we needed a whole lot more than $50,000 for the work of the gospel, you know? But if you don't have it, $5, $5 million, it all feels the same, right? Here we are. Cry out, oh God. And here he just hears this whisper and sends the check, overnights it, and there it came. But the greatest thing wasn't the money. The greatest thing was to encourage the students, look how God answered prayer. Friends, I'm asking for your prayers on this trip to Israel. And I get home just for a few days, turn around and go to Italy. So I covet your prayers. Thank you. The next time you hear my voice, I should be broadcasting from Israel. Follow me daily on our Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, and don't miss the next broadcast. Thank you for praying.